Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, June the 1st, Pope Leo celebrates the Jubilee of families, children, grandparents and the elderly with 70,000 pilgrims from across the world. The Pope turns his thoughts to families who are suffering due to war in the Middle East, Ukraine and in other parts of the globe. And in Gaza, dozens of people are killed in Israeli tank fire as they gather to receive aid. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. On Sunday morning, St. Peter's Square was filled with 70,000 pilgrims from 131 countries who came for the concluding Mass of the Jubilee of families, children, grandparents and the elderly. Pope Leo XIV presided over the celebration, and in his homily he reflected on the family as a source of communion and faith, stressing that families are the cradle of humanity's future. Kelsey Gussie tells us more.
Reflecting on the gift of life, Pope Leo XIV called to mind the words of his predecessor, Pope Francis, who explained how we are all sons and daughters, but none of us chose to be born. Furthermore, he highlighted from the moment of our birth, we depend on others to survive. All of us are alive today thanks to a relationship, a free and freeing relationship of human kindness and mutual care.
Tutti noi viviamo dunque grazie a una relazione, cioè a un legame libero e liberante di umanità e di cura vicendevole.
Pope Leo underscored that this is the message we are called to share with the world, that we are here to be one in our families and in those places where we live, work, and study. But he clarified that being one does not mean being the same. While we are all different, we are all called to be one, always and in every situation and stage in life. In a world full of conflict and disagreement, the Pope encouraged everyone to ground their love in Christ, because he said if we do this, we will be a sign of peace for everyone, in society and in the world. This, he reminded everyone, starts at home, as families are the cradle of humanity's future. Building on this, he said in recent decades, there are more and more examples of holy families. There have been a number of married couples who have been beatified and canonized. Pope Leo gave the example of the parents of St. Therese of the Child Jesus and the Ulma family from Poland. The Pope explained that the Church's call for the marriage covenant to be respected today is important because it is unifying and has a reconciling power that can change the world. He reiterated that marriage is not an ideal, but the measure of true love between a man and a woman, a love that is total, faithful, and fruitful.
Il matrimonio non è un ideale, ma il canone del vero amore tra l'uomo e la donna, amore totale, fedele, fecondo.
And this relationship, he urged, should be an example of integrity for children on how to act. To conclude, Pope Leo stressed that the family is where faith is handed on from generation to generation. He said, it is shared like food at the family table and like love in our hearts. Therefore, the family is a privileged place to meet Jesus. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
At the end of the Mass, Pope Leo XIV greeted those families celebrating their Jubilee who were gathered in St. Peter's Square for the Regina Caeli prayer, and he reflected on the feast of the Ascension of the Lord.
Desidero rivolgere un caloroso saluto a tutti voi partecipanti al Giubileo delle famiglie, dei bambini, dei nonni e degli anziani.
Greeting delegations from 131 countries from every part of the world here in the Vatican for the Jubilee of families, children, grandparents and the elderly, Pope Leo XIV turned his thoughts to those families suffering war in the Middle East, in Ukraine and in other parts of the world.
A causa della guerra in Medio Oriente, in Ucraina, in altre parti del mondo.
May the Mother of God help us to press forward on the path of peace.
La Madre di Dio ci aiuti a camminare insieme sulla via della pace.
Expressing particular joy for the presence of children and for the hope they bring, the Pope described families as small domestic churches where the message of the gospel is received and passed on.
Piccole chiese domestiche in cui il Vangelo è accolto e trasmesso.
And quoting from St. John Paul II's letter to families, Gratissimam Sane, he said, "The family has its origin in that same love with which the Creator embraces the created world."
Ha origine dall'amore con cui il creatore abbraccia il mondo creato.
May faith, hope and love always increase in our families, the Pope added, with a special thanks to grandparents and to the elderly, whom he said are a model of genuine faith and an inspiration for the younger generation. And then Pope Leo went on to remind the faithful that in many parts of the world the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord is being celebrated this Sunday. It is a beautiful feast, he said, which makes us look forward to the goal of our earthly journey.
È una festa molto bella che ci fa guardare alla meta del nostro viaggio terreno.
Thus he recalled the beatification on Saturday in Poland of Cristofora Klomfas and 14 other sisters of the congregation of Saint Catherine, Virgin and Martyr. The sisters, he explained, were killed in 1945. When the Red Army invaded Poland. Despite a climate of hatred and of terror against the Catholic faith, they persevered in their service to the sick and orphans. The Holy Father then commended to the intercession of the new blessed martyrs all those women religious throughout the world who devote themselves generously for the sake of God's kingdom. Finally, the Pope remembered that today marks the 59th World Day of Social Communications, established in 1967 by Pope Paul VI, and he expressed his gratitude to media professionals who, he said, by upholding the ethical quality of their messages, support families in their educational role.
Aiutano le famiglie nel loro compito educativo.
In Gaza, thousands of hungry Palestinians gathered near an aid centre on Sunday when Israeli tanks reportedly opened fire on the crowd. Medics say at least 31 people were killed and more than 150 wounded. Nathan Morley reports.
The incident reportedly occurred near a new U.S. food aid distribution centre in the town of Rafah. The Israeli Defence Forces said they were currently unaware of casualties which were caused by the shelling. Videos online, however, show the wounded and injured being ferried to a medical centre on the back of carts. Eyewitnesses said that thousands of people had arrived at the aid centre since early morning when gunfire and explosions suddenly erupted. Israel closed the border crossings and curtailed the flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza on March the 2nd. Limited access has been permitted since May the 22nd. Meanwhile, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office has said that Israel has accepted an updated US-mediated proposal for a hostage release deal, whilst accusing Hamas of stalling progress by rejecting the framework. Hamas, for its part, however, said that it had submitted a positive response to the US plan, but sought amendments, including a demand for a longer-term ceasefire. The group says it's demanding the release of hostages in three phases over a 60-day truce, wider aid access across Gaza, and guarantees that the deal would lead to a permanent ceasefire. Israel has rejected these conditions, insisting on Hamas disarmament, removal from power, and the unconditional release of all remaining hostages. Israel's state-owned Kan Television reported that the military is expected to intensify operations in northern Gaza in response to Hamas's position. Israel resumed its assault on Gaza on March the 18th, following a two-month truce with Hamas. Since then, 4,149 Palestinians have been killed and 12,000 injured. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Until this week, no commercial or humanitarian supplies had been allowed into Gaza since the 2nd of March, deepening an already catastrophic hunger crisis and sparking widespread condemnation from the international community. Speaking to UN News, Olga Cherevetko, a spokesperson for Aid Coordination Office OCHA, said that people are dying and are left without aid and without hope.
When I talk to people, you know, something that has always struck me about the people in Gaza, the Palestinians in Gaza, is their resilience and their strength. And something that the spirit that they have kept throughout these months of war. And I knew Gaza before, well before, because I used to work there for several years, starting from 2014. And knowing how people have endured so much suffering, and despite that, they find the strength to go on, they find the strength to smile at you and to offer you tea or, you know, anything that they might still have. Now, when I go and I speak to people, the thing that is the most devastating, I think, is that there's a sense that some people feel like this is the end and that there's no turning back and that they are just waiting to die.
And that was the OCHA's spokesperson for aid, Olga Cherevko, speaking there to UN News. Poland has begun voting in a tight runoff vote for the presidency, with opinion polls showing a close race between a liberal and a nationalist in the predominantly Catholic European nation. Stefan Boss reports.
Polish voters began choosing between two presidential candidates representing different political outlooks. Rafał Trzaskowski, who is 53, is the pro-European liberal multilingual mayor of the capital Warsaw. He is backed by Prime Minister Donald Tusk's politically diverse governing coalition. However, candidate Trzaskowski faces a tough challenge from nationalist historian and former amateur boxer Karol Nawrocki. The 43-year-old Nawrocki is endorsed by the populist right-wing Law and Justice Party that governed Poland between 2015 and 2023. Observers say that a victory for Nawrocki would alter Poland's supportive position towards war-torn neighboring Ukraine. But his campaign was overshadowed by allegations of wrongdoing, including questions over his acquisition of an apartment from an older man and his admission that he participated in an organized fight between 140 soccer hooligans in his youth. Yet the pro-Western Trzaskowski isn't without controversy either. He faced allegations about foreign funding for online advertising promoting his candidacy. Additionally, he had to defend himself against suggestions that he was out of touch and an elitist while backed by the unpopular Tusk government. For Prime Minister Tusk, Trzaskowski must win. While the Polish president's role is mainly ceremonial, it carries some influence over foreign and defense policy. The president also has the critical power to veto new legislation. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Join us again tomorrow at the same time for more. Meanwhile, you can also visit vaticannews.va and our Facebook, X and Instagram accounts, where you can follow with our new Pope, Leo XIV. During all his upcoming events. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.